Okay, boys. So today's daf is daf Kuf Lamed Tes. We're holding the Mishnah on the bottom. Kuf Lamed Ches Amid Beis. Zok the Mishnah or Av Toilish Umaach L'Chol Misha Yerze. What is this referring to? This is a continuation of the previous Mishnah in which we learned that a father can go and give away his nechassim, for instance, to his son by saying Mehayoyim Umiachar Misa. I'm giving you Mehayoyim. What means Mehayoyim L'Achar Misa? The Gemara explains Mehayoyim you get the Guf HaNechassim, the Guf HaKarka. Well, I, the father, continue using the peiros until the end of his life. And then when he passes away, then the peiros as well will be transferred to the recipient. It doesn't have to be dafka son, it can also be acher, but normally we talk about a son. Okay, so therefore, temporarily the son has the guf, temporarily in the sense he really can't do much with it. He can own it, he can sell it, but he doesn't have any real hanoah from it.
However, if he sells it, the father still gets the payers?
Father still gets the payers. They have taken the property and they've divided it in half. You get the guf, the keren, the principal, and I get all of the income. And he maintains and retains all of the income until he passes away. Once he passes away, then all the income transfers to the son, or if the son sold the property, then from that point on, it will go on to the lekech. Lekech didn't have any hanoah until now. He bought it, if you will, on spec, on futures options, because he can't really do anything with the property. He doesn't get the income. But he figured the life expectancy, he spoke to all the actuaries, and he did all the statistics, and based on that, he discounted the sale. Whatever. Bottom line is, during the period of time that the father continues to live, he gets all of those payers. And the Mishnah tells us so much that, since he retains the rights over the payers, he can give it to anybody. He doesn't have to eat it himself. He can sell it. He can give it as a present. He can invite malachim into his oihel and give them all the payers. No problem. But now the Mishnah says, "Umashi niach tolush harihu shel yorshim." What happens eventually? His age catches up with him, and at the ripe old age of 120, unfortunately, he passed away. And when he passed away, we know, okay, now the payers are all going to transfer to the son. And guess what? There were some payers which were telushim. Telushim means they had already been harvested. They are now lying on the ground for someone to collect them. And this was not just that people are tardy and they're waiting. It could very well be because he wanted them to dry out over the summer so they would have dry raisins. Remember, yesteryear they didn't have refrigerators and freezers and the like, so most of the people ate payers when they were dried. And therefore, this, like even today, it's become very, very fashionable that people eat dried mango and dried this and dried that, and that's what they did. Okay, so whatever he left to Lushim, Harihu Shel Yorshim, these belong to the Yorshim. In other words, it doesn't belong to the recipient of his Mehayoyim Ula Achar Misa, because since these were already Tlushim, had the father continued to live another few days, another few weeks, another few months, he would have eaten it and or given it L'chol Mishi Yirtzeh. So now all of his Yorshim have the right with respect to those payrois to give it L'chol Mishi Yirtzeh. So for instance, if he had five sons and he had preferred son number three over the five sons, and he gave him all of these nechassim, he gave him all of these karkois. So normally, now when he passes away, everything, the payers transferred to his third son. However, because of the fact that there were already payers solution, that the father could have, would have, should have shared with whoever he wanted to, unfortunately he passed away, and then they belong to his yarshim, which by the way would include that son number three, because he's a yarsh like everybody else. But it doesn't go automatically to him, because these are payers talushim, which the father owned, and now he gives to his yarshim. Now, the easy diuk of our Mishnah is, why does the Mishnah talk about mashi niach tolush? What happens if mashi niach mechubar? In other words, the father passed away, ichweis, in February or March, when there are already payers on the tree, or there's already tvua on the ground. It has not been harvested yet. It will be harvested shortly, but it's still mechubar. Oh, if that's the case, it sounds like from our Mishnah that this would transfer together with the Guf HaKarka to the recipient, to the one who gave the Mehiyor Melachar Misa. And it makes sense, because since we're saying that now everything's going to go belong to that son, and from now on he'll have all the rights which are incumbent in this field, including the income stream, okay, So since all of these payers are mechubar, and now he's getting everything, so it's like the gufa karka, says Rishbam, which he always had anyway, the gufa karka. He just wasn't able to be nehene from the payers because the father retained them, but now that the father has gone away, so then lechayre belongs to him automatically. So Zekti Mishnah, it's masha tolush in, then that's sholiyarsha mechubaloi, but the mechubar remains and stays with the recipient, in our case, that third out of five sons, because he now owns everything. That's l'choyde, the poshet diak in the Mishnah. However, says the Gemara, v'tanya, but I have a kasha from a braisa, which says just the opposite. What does it say just the opposite? Shaman has a mechubarin l'lokeach. Here we're talking about a son. Again, let's go through our example. Again, the father gave to the third son in this entire property. It doesn't mean necessarily that he gave everything, his entire estate. It could be a particular piece of property. It could be the house here on the corner of 91st and Weston Avenue, and he gave him the entire Karen, yeah, the bricks and the mortar, everything belongs to you. However, I get the income stream as long as I'm alive. Or in the case of a field, if this was an empty lot, empty lot, and payers were growing, he retains the payers for himself. Okay, now what happens if that third son, in our example, decided that he wants to try to raise some funds, so he sells the karka. Not that the recipient can really use it, but at least he'll have title to it, and he thinks to himself, this father is now 100 years old, he has another 20 years to go, so in 20 years from now, Mir Tashem, I'll be able to go and use the property to its height, and therefore he's willing to pay for it now, something, of course, with a discount. Okay, so now what happens? The father Taka becomes 120, and at this point, when he passes away, there are payrois, which are mechubar lekarka. And now the gufa karka no longer belongs to the son because he already sold it to the lekeach 20 years ago, and the lekeach says, okay, now I'm going to go and get not only the karka and the future payrois stream, I'm even going to get these payrois which are mechubar lekarka. So he thinks, says the Braisa, no. The Lekeach has got to now make a din b'cheshbon. He has to bring in an appraiser who's going to look at all these peiros mechubarim, and he's going to say, these peiros mechubarim, worth $1,000. Worth $1,000, Lekeach, you're going to have to cough up $1,000 and give it to the yorshim of the original person who passed away. Ah, why does he have to give it out? Didn't you say that in our Mishnah, it's mashal only the tolish is the yarshim, but the mechubar belongs to the son. And here we're saying if the son had not appointed, he sold the property to somebody else, who's now a lekeach, that lekeach does not get the mechubar, but rather he's going to have to pay for it. He's going to have to go and figure out how much it's worth and pay that amount to the children, to the yarshim. Why is that? Didn't you say in our Mishnah that Mechubarim belongs to the Ha'odam, and when he gave it, Mayoyim al-Achar Misa, to the Achar Misa guy? Mishnah was his son. Here it's the son's derivative, the Lekeach, that bought it from the son, which is the same thing. There's a major difference between if his son is still the recipient of those Pedis Mechubarim, and if it's an Achar, it's already a third party that the Ben sold it to. Why? Because a person's das, a person's sentimental feelings and his emotions are much closer to his son than it is to an acher. So what does the Mishnah mean to say? What's the Gemara mean to say? We normally think of, okay, if he said, the father retains all the payer stream and he gives all the guf away to the son, and then now it's just a waiting game to see how long the father will continue to live, another 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. And then the rest of the payers will go over to the son. But our Gemara is telling us is that the father still retains, if you will, there's still strings attached to those payers, so that when he passes away, it depends. If the recipient who's going to receive it now is going to be his son, he gives a belave of sholem, and the son takes now not only the future income stream, but even the payers which are mechubar lekarka, because after all, he owns those payers mechubar lekarka. However, if the person who's going to receive now the payers for the future is going to be an acher, then the father says, he doesn't need the payers from Mechubar. I still want to use those payers. After all, I have payers as long as I'm alive. I want those payers from Mechubar to go to my children to my Yorishim. Because like the Mishnah says, as long as he was alive, he had the choice who to give the Peiris to. So even though he's passing away, his mind and his heart is, if the recipient's going to be my son, nu gizinta hait. After all, I gave him the guf, and now he's going to get the Peiris, let him get the Peiris. However, if the recipient is going to be a third party, no, then I still want to hold on to those for my own Yorishim. And then, when those payers eventually are cut, they will belong to the Yorishim and not to the recipient of the derivative, the one, the Acher. And therefore, Rashbam adds, what happens if the father had not given it to the third son? But initially he gave the Guf HaKarka to Yankel Smith, to whom he is not related, a nice friend, obviously. He gave him the Guf, and he kept for himself the payers. And eventually the payers are going to go to Yankel Smith. Nevertheless, his connection with Yankel Smith is not that same deep emotional connection that he has with a son. So that if and when Cholil V'chas, the father passes away, and now Yankel Smith says, okay, now I'm finally going to get those payers, he's going to get future payers, but any payers mechubarim will not belong to him, will belong to the father's children, to their Yashim. Yes?
Don't we have a principle that anything Shalroi Elix or Katzer Dami, so shouldn't shouldn't we say it depends also on the nature of the peiros? If the peiros are not really mature enough to be valuable to be harvested, they're still considered mechuber, mm-hmm. and they should belong to the lokeach, the acher. Mm-hmm. But if they're already ready to be cut, in your example, you're describing as if it's right before harvest, mm-hmm. it shouldn't matter. It's already considered cut. It's already considered roy and part of the estate.
What you're saying is correct. Many other Gemaras distinguish between peiros hamagia leksofim or leketefayim, means peiros ochli midlitzar, they're about to be cut,
right.
and those peiros which are not about to be cut. These are considered to be, since they're almost to be cut, they're like pelushim, and since these are not to be cut, they're still mechuber. However, Arashbam doesn't distinguish between the two. If you look at the Rishbam in the Mishnah, Av Toilish Umachel.
Yes.
Going now to the second line.
Av Opish, Omer the Toilish.
Continue on. Av Mashe Niach Mechuber Lekarka B'Shas Misosoy. Av Opish Omer Litloish. Anything which is Mechuber, even those which are Omer Litloish, Arihu Shal Benoi Mekabel Matan. That belongs to his Ben, according to our Mishnah. Av Adavke Benoi. 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 Harry Angel, Yorshim Shadatel Adam Craven Silanoi, Yoisim Me Acher. So our Mishnah is telling us, since a person has such a strong emotional bond to his son, anything which happens to be Mechuber to the Karka, yes, my son, you get it, whether or not it's ready to be cut, or whether it's only going to be cut in 2 months from now, makes a difference under all circumstances, it's yours, because I love my son. However, if it's an Acher, that deep emotional bond is not there, and so therefore it's only the minimum what the law requires. The law requires is that after he passes away, if the peiros talushim, they go to the Yorshim. If the peiros mechubarim, the lekeach is going to have to go and pay for them, and he's going to have to go and give it back to the Yorshim. On to the next Mishnah. Look at Mishnah Baita. Iniach banim gdoilim uktanim. Iniach gdoilim sparasim ayidei ektanim, bale ektanim nizoinim ala gdoilim. Let's talk about a situation where there are only boys, and therefore there are no daughters involved yet. We're going to get to daughters soon. And you have, the marshal, 10 boys. 5 are gdoilim, 5 already are of age, and 5 are ten, still youngsters. Now, obviously at some point they have to divide up the estate. And assuming that there is no bechor situation, for instance, the oldest one was a daughter, and she passed away, not even she belonged. We don't chas v'shom, she's still around. Since she's there, there's no din of giving b'choyer to any of the brothers. He has no b'shtayim, so you only have 10 boys. Good. So you have 5 gedolim and 5 tan, just to throw an example. Eventually, they have to go and split this entire estate. If the entire estate is chwayis, $1 million, 10 kids, each one's going to go and get $100,000, and very, very simple. But our Mishnah tells us is that before they have a chance to divide up the estate, they have to get the appraiser, and they have to get the lawyers, and they have to get the guardians, and the administrator, and the surrogates court. So it's going to take a little bit of time until they split it up. In the meantime, the Gedolim say, we need parnasa. Parnasa over here doesn't mean parnasa like we think of, means work and income, but it means, says Rishbam, levush uksus. We have to You know, we have to buy nice clothing to be able to be presentable, and eventually to make shidduchim and to go into business and so on and so forth. Ketanim, on the other hand, that's not a major concern. Outfits for children are much cheaper than the suits and coats and all that for older people. But ketanim are more concerned about mezainis. Who's going to go and supply the food? Because if they're only 5 or 8 or 10, they really can't go to work and make money. So therefore, the gedolim would like to get a larger share prior to splitting up the estate for their parnasa, for their levush, while the ketanim would like to go and get more from the estate for their mezainis. Says our Mishnah, there are no priorities. The Gdolim have no right to go and take a larger share at the expense of the Ketanim. And the Ketanim don't have a right to go and take a larger share in Yisraelim ala Gdolim at the expense of the Gdolim. Rather, everything is split up evenly. Of course, if in the interim the older ones say, well, I need a new suit for Yom Tov, for Shabbos, for going to Chasen or whatever, they can presumably take in advance, in other words, write it down on a balance sheet that I've already gotten, $500 for a suit, for a coat, for this, for that. However, all of that is part of the cheshbon that eventually, when it's going to be divided up, then the estate will take into consideration if the gdolim took for levush and if the ketanim took for mezainis. And the Mishnah continues: Nasu hagdolim yisu haktanim. If the gdolim took money, again, we're talking about an undivided estate. The father passed away, le'aleinu. And now one of the gedolim is getting married in a month from now. And he says, I can't wait for the estate to be subdivided. I need money now to get married. How much is it going to cost? $10,000. Fine. Nasa gedolim, we give him a $10,000 allocation. We write it down on the balance sheet. And then yisu ketanim. Eventually, when the ketanim get married, they'll also be able to take, if the estate has still not been totally divided, so the ketanim can go and take the same amount, that $10,000, just like the gedolim took for his chasana. I'm going to take $10,000 for my chasana. However, the imomru ketanim hari onu noisim kederach shenasosim atem. If the ketanim say, no, I want the same amount, just like you got married, ain't shoyim lehem. We don't listen to them. Rabbi say, do you know what we just said now? It's just a contradiction in terms.
He made inflation.
B'toych kidei dibur was saying, no, so gdolim yisur ketanim. Whatever the gdolim took the ketanim, but if the ketanim say we want to be treated the same way, ain't shoyim lehem. We don't listen to them. So Gemara is going to ask, you're contradicting yourself. B'toych kidei dibur, it doesn't stem. Very good, Aris. So the key words are now ain't shoyim lehem elamash and nosu lehem avihem. What does that mean? So Gemara is going to go and answer. The first part, when it says nosu gdolim yisur ketanim, is talking about that all of them got married post mortem, without the father being alive. You can imagine it was a fairly tragic type of chasana, because Nebuchadnezzar, there was no father to go and take the chasana down the aisle. Rahman al-Islam. But lemaisa, if the gdolim took out $10,000 from the undivided estate, then the ketanim, when they get married, they can also take out $10,000 from the undivided estate. What happens, however, if some of these gdolim were already married when the father was still alive? Oh, Baruch Hashem, he had nachas, he saw some of his children getting married. And at that time, he did a very, very beautiful, gorgeous affair. And he went, what do they call it today? Over the top. He went and married off his son in the Waldorf Astoria. Wow.
Closed right now.
Sorry?
Closed for 5 years.
Now it's closed?
Years,
yeah. I wasn't aware of that. Okay.
Yeah. Baruch Hashem, the Hilton.
Yeah. I have not been invited to Waldorf Astoria for Chassan for a long time. But anyway, the Ketanim. So when we have the Ketanim say, Hari Nosim, Kederish Nosim Atem, we want to have the same standard of Chassan, just like Daddy, like Tati, like Abba made for you when he was still alive. Ancient Lamb. That we don't listen to. And the Mashin Nosim Lehem Avim, whatever the father gave, he gave for the earlier sons. But that was not necessarily going to be his standard for all of his sons. Maybe that first son, oh, that's the first big simcha in the family. Oh, so they made a real big splash. Maybe he also wanted to go make good shidduchim for the future. So he figured, world of a story, and then the next 9 children, people are going to stand online. Oh, I'd like to be mashadach with Mr. Smith. He made a chassid, written world of a story. Oh, and by the way, he's a shtickle tamar chochem also. And he's a fairly decent guy too. And the son we say, also a shtickle. Exactly. Anyway, so the fact that when the father was still alive, he made a lavish chasana for one or more of his kids, that is not necessarily the standard for the rest of them. And therefore, only in the case where a gadol took already a set amount post-mortem for his chasana, 10,000, 20,000, whatever it was, then the cotton say, well, you know better than me. I also want to take the same amount.
What about the young kid?
About the young kid?
He's going to be losing, because even if you give him the 10,000...
Because of the inflation.
No, not even inflation. Even if he gives him 10,000 for an average wedding, he's going to come out, you have to give 10,000 to the older one or not.
In the Chalami, so what the Mishnah is telling us is, anybody after the father passes away, all of the boys get the same amount for their chasanis. If it's 10,000, 10,000. If it's 20,000, whatever that
is. But not the chasanis after the father died, not from the before.
Right, we do not look at the standard of wedding that the father made when he was alive.
I'm just talking Shimon and Reuben. Reuben married before, okay?
Yeah, right.
Okay. Shimon marries afterwards.
When you say before and after. Father died and father was alive.
Right.
So Reuben married when the father was still alive, Shimon only after father died. Okay.
So Shimon gets married, he gets $10,000.
$10,000.
So Reuben's going to get the $10,000 too, or not?
No, Reuben doesn't have to get anything because he's married already, Baruch Hashem.
Oh, so you look at where the money goes for.
Exactly.
So if the father bought Reuben a house, and then he passes away, and then the younger son can take from the state a house, and don't have to compensate Reuben.
Well, you know, let's go and understand what you're asking. Bottom line is, if they were able to go and make a chasana now, we would go and make a chasana now. If we were able to subdivide and allocate the entire Yerusha now, we would do that right now. So if they have 10 sons, there's $1,000,000, we'd give everybody $100,000. In the meantime, however, they cannot, because they're involved in legal proceedings, it's hard to go and liquidate the property. It's complicated. So in the meantime, says the Godel, I want to get married. I need to get married. So how much do you need? 10,000. Fine, 10,000. We write it down on the balance sheet that Reuven, towards his 100,000, he's already gotten $10,000. And now Shimon or Levi, Yehuda, they want to go and get married, and we still haven't divided up the estate. Well, I want to make a more lavish chasana. I want to go and get 50,000. No, we're not going to give you 50,000. We're going to give you 10,000, just like we gave to Reuven. We got 10, you get 10, you get 10. Everybody gets the same. And eventually, when it will be all subdivided, then we'll go and put on the balance sheet how much everybody got, and we'll subtract it from their allocation. Anyway, getting back to the Mishnah. Now, the Mishnah repeats itself virtually verbatim, because now we're not talking about the boys, now we're talking about the girls. Hiniach bonois gdoidus uktanis, without any sons. Because if the sons get, you know, the sons would get Yerusha before the bonois. There are no sons on the scene, they're only girls. Some of them are older and some of them are younger. Any gdoidus mizvaris leidei aktanis, the gdoidus cannot say, well, I need fancy dresses and fancy outfits, and therefore I want to go and get at the expense of the tanis. The leiktanis leidei gdoidus, and the tanis can't say, well, I need to eat and I can't go out to work, you know. And the chol kodesh, everybody gets even Steven. Nosa gdoilos is uktanis. If the gdoilos need 10,000 for their marriage, then the uktanis get the same. If you mom uktanis say, no, you can and asasim atem. Why don't you go and do it? We, the uktanim, want to do like the older gdoilos that were married by Tati, who married them off very lavishly. Ain't shemelen. We don't listen to them. We don't go back in time what the father did when he was still alive. We go based on what normal chasanis are today. So that's the end of this part of the Mishnah. And then the Mishnah adds on one additional knach, one additional rule. There's one difference between a bonois situation and a bonim situation. What happens if you have a situation where you have a Yerusha, and the Yerusha is not enough to go around for everybody? Now, if you just turn the page for one moment, Mendy already announced in Shul that we're going to start a new parak, and the new parak begins Misha Meis on the Amid Beis. Misha Meis v'niach banim u'banis, so leftover boys and girls, in other words, sons and daughters. So now Minah Torah, you're only entitled; only the boys are entitled to get, and not the girls. Ish kiyomus uven ein loy lavarat mes nachlosay levitay. But otherwise, it's only the boys. Okay. His mansion, Chosim Reuben, Habonim Yirshu Habonis Yizaynu. What happens? The father passed away. He leaves over some of the younger girls. The younger girls have no mikor parnosa, no mikor for mizaynos. So midrabanon, you have to go and support those girls from mizaynos. And the Rishbam brings, because it says in the Ksuba, and even if it didn't say in the Ksuba, is that famous the takana of benois nukvan. That they can continue receiving mezoinos from the estate ad shetivagran, until they become boigrisin. Boigrisin means roughly 12 and a half. Or ad shetilokhlun the govran, unless they get married. So until that time, they're entitled to go and get mezaynus. So even though min ha-toyra, it's only the bonim that get the whole Yerusha, mid rabbanan, the bonis get priority over the bonim. Aha. Says our Mishnah, that's only if you're talking about bonim with some girls, girls which are young, who are young, and they want to go and get food and mezaynus. They get before the banim. But what happens if they're only banois? They're only banois, then the younger girls do not get any priority over the gedolos. Why? Because it'll just be put down on their balance sheet as towards the amount of Yerusha that they are going to receive. Since, again, just assuming there's $1 million, we have 10 girls in the estate, 5 of them are ready gedolos, 5 of them are tanos, the 5 tanos need to get food. Well, of course, we'll feed them from the estate. We don't want them, chas v'shalom, to go hungry. But whatever they receive is going to be put down on the balance sheet as an advance on their eventual allocation and when the subdivision of the estate is made. So that's the choymis of the mishmid bonos v'banim. Shabonis nizoynis ala banim. The bonos gets mizoynis at the expense of the banim. If there were 10 boys and 2 or 3 girls, and those 2 or 3 girls are now eating the whole time the mezaynus, the banim have to pay for it, even though the $1 million is going to go down to 950 or about now to 900. But that's the takana of the banis. Nukvan, that you have to go and support them. But if there are only banis around, and a few of them happen to be ketanois, that doesn't reduce the entire estate. It just is an advance on the portion that they would get eventually from the estate. Okay. So now, remember the beginning of the Mishnah, we said that the older boys cannot, at the expense of the younger ones, be misparnes. And Rashbam said misparnes means levush and ksus. Levush, what's the difference between ksus and levush? Ksus is usually that which is a little bit more internal, in other words, whether it's underwear or even shirts and things like that, while the other one is more external, that would be an outside coat or a cloak or outside jacket or what have you. Anyway, so Omer Rabba, so Rabba tells us a story. Hay Godol Achi, the Lovash V'Ichsi Mi Beiser. One of the Godol Achi, or the Godol Achi, the Moshe Lebchor, or the oldest one, Lovash, he dressed the Ichsi, Levush and Ksus, Mi Beiser, from the estate, from the Tfusis Abayis, the Gemara calls it, that's the undivided estate. He, in fact, took money from the estate to go and put on fancy, schmancy clothing. Says Rabba, my dear Rabba, well, what he did is fine, and he does not have to subtract that. That's not an advance. Cool. He has the right to take that from the estate. What's going on? Rav is arguing with the Mishnah. And for the Gemara, it depends. The person that was Gadol Achin, if the reason why he was buying fancy clothing is because he was representing the rest of the family. He had to get a mortgage on the house. He went to the banker to speak to him. They had to go and sell something. He went to the closing. He was the one that represented the rest of the family, like an apotropis of sorts, because he was the eldest son.
Expense.
So therefore, he's entitled to go and dress nicely and businesslike and in a very respectable, distinguished fashion. So the people remember Mechabedim. When he comes to the bank, I'll be with you, sir, in 1 minute. And, come on in. Can I offer you a coffee? And because he looks like he's very distinguished, because he's dressed royally. Then you're allowed to. When our Mishnah said, no, don't go and clothe the Gdoilim at the expense of the Ktanim, that's talking about Bisharcha. What's meant Bisharcha? Bisharcha means a person who is in Yiddish, they call it a Leidegeier. Leidegeier means a person that has really no parnos, he's unemployed, he's just, and so therefore, he has no right to go and take any of the funds for his clothing. Why is he up some chitin? Why is he up a knacker that he should be able to go and take money for his clothing if he's a gunish? The other brothers are happy that he should dress well, that he shouldn't look like a schlepper, he shouldn't look like a minovel. After all, it impugns their reputation too. When they say the Smith family, hush of a family. But when the Yankel Smith's a funny guy. All of them dressed like no, every one of them. Kulam Ahuvim, Kulam Barurim, Kulam Giborim, Kulam Kadosh, they're all. So I would think, forget that they would be very happy that this schlepper, that this Leidegeier, that he should also dress nicely and respectably, so he should look like he's distinguished. Kamash Walon, yeah, Avad the covet is a great Zach. However, Gelt is still greater than that. So they want the money, and the other brother looks like a maneuver. Well, what can I do? That's life is not a utopia. Now we continue the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Nosik Dung Misuk Tanim. And remember, we had that difficulty that the Mishnah said that the Ktanim can take the same allocation just like the Gdoilim, except if they say, but I want the exact same thing like Nasasim Atem, ain't Shayim Lehem. Freaked about my Kama. That doesn't make any sense. It's Omer, if you know Hachikonim. Nosik Dunim, Liacher Mises Aviyim. Yisuk Tanim Liacher Mises Aviyim. On the same standard, you got 10,000, I get 10,000. Av Nosik Dunim Chay Aviyim. If the Gdoilim got married when the father was still alive, we want to have that same 21 man orchestra, and we want to have the same beautiful flowers in the same world of the story, whatever, just like you. That ain't Shem Melehem. Whatever the father gave when he was still alive, he gave it. He was entitled to go and give him matana to anybody. So he gave him matana to this particular son. So that has nothing to do with future marriages post mortem after he passes away. Back to the mission. In here, one is going to do this. Sholachle Avua Bar Geniva L'Rava. Avua Bar Geniva asked the following shayla to Rava. Yelam Deina Rabbeinu. Rava, please teach us. Lovsa, the Achla, the Amda, the Nisses. You have a young lady who at the moment is single. Lovsa, she borrowed money. The Achla, and then she took the loan proceeds and she consumed them. She spent it. She ate it. She bought dresses, whatever it happens to be. And nothing is left. And of course, she owes money now, of course, to the Baal Chayv, to the lender. And the Omda, and now what did she do? Vinissus. And she got married. And now all of her nechasim, whatever she owns, become nechse mulug. Nechse mulug means they all belong now, although they still belong to her. In the ksuba, it says that at the end of the marriage, whether it's terminated because of a get or because of a passing, she's going to get the nechasim back. But in the meantime, who gets the benefit? The husband. He's the moleg. He's the one that plucks the feathers. He gets the income from these nechasim. Okay. So now the question is, what is his status? Baal lekeach hava or yoydish hava? What is the baal? Is he considered to be a lekeach or a yoydish? Now when we use the term yoydish, we're using it a little bit ambiguously, because Rishbam says, we're talking about that they're still married and both of them are in great health. Neither of them has passed away. We just want to know what is the legal status of the Baal vis-a-vis these nechasim and vis-a-vis any duty for him to have to go and pay back the existing loan of his wife. And it's important to note, as we'll see on the next line, that we're not talking about a milva bishtar, we're talking about a milva al-peh. Because if the halva was bishtar, then by definition there's a shibud on all of her nechasim, and that lien on her nechasim predates her marriage to her husband. So of course then the creditor would be able to go and say, you know, you got married, sir, you may not have been aware of this, but some of these nechasim have liens on it, and those liens said, I'm entitled to those nechasim, and I'm going to go and take now the Rock of Gibraltar and pay back my halva. So here it's so that it's a milva al-ped, there's no documents, and therefore there's no shibud on nechasim. The question is, what is the status of the Baal? Is he lekeach or yoroyish? And the Gemara explained, lekeach ave, is he like a purchaser? It's as if he bought these properties. Or milva al-ped, ain't a government of lekuchais. Since it's only a milva al-ped, there is no documentation vis-a-vis that halva. So then, just like any lekeach that buys a property, the milva al-ped, how was I supposed to know that she owed money to Yanko, to Baruch Shimon? It's none of my business, and I don't care. My lawyers and my CIA, my FBI people did a wonderful due diligence, and all of these properties happen to be Noki. There's not a scintilla. Sorry? They're totally B'nai Chorin. There's no Shibud whatsoever, and therefore, any government of the court. Oy Dilma, Yoyrish Abba. Maybe he has a status of a Yoyrish. Or Milval Peg, Goyim Menai Yorishin. When a person passes away and he leaves over Choyvois, even if those Choyvois are not documented, but nevertheless, the person who passed away has to go and pay back, of course, those halvois. And if you don't have documents, but if you have edim that say, yeah, that the nifter borrowed money from Yanko, from Beryl, whatever, the avadi has got to have to pay. So now the question is, what is the status of this husband? Do you have a din like a lekeach or a yoyrish? Can the Baal Choyv come to him and say, you're on the hook, you got to pay for it, yes or no. Amalek. So he said, L'choira, said Rav, I have a raya from our Mishnah. What's a raya from our Mishnah? Tanina. No, sugedoi lois, yisuk tanois. Now the Mishnah, the way we explained it was, that there's a full estate. We allocated, let's say, $10,000 to the Gdolois, and then eventually the Ketanis want to get married. If the estate still has not been subdivided, so we're going to give them also an allocation of $10,000 for the Chasana. However, the Gemara and the Havaminis thinks, maybe not. Maybe it's talking about that we have already allocated the entire estate, and the Gdolois have taken the most of the estate, or they've just taken their share, but they had already received the $10,000 besides that for the chasana. So the Ketanos, there's no estate left. It's all been subdivided. So where are they going to get that money? They're going to go to the Gdolos. And they're going to say, Gdolos, remember, you took $10,000 as an advance against the estate for your chasana, Gesundheit, but now I want that $10,000 for me. My love, Nosik Gdolos, Libaal, Yisuk Ketanos, Mi Baal. The first Gedolus took it from the estate to get married to a Baal. And when it says in the Mishnah, Yisuk Tanois, not that they're taking money from the estate which is still undivided, but rather they're coming to the Baal and said, you took $10,000 in advance, we had no problem with that, Gesundheit, but now we want the same treatment for ourselves. So therefore pay us back, because everything has now been subdivided. There's no estate left in the escrow account or the trust account. So now you got to pay back, that we should also get $10,000. So what do I see from this? That the Baal has a status
of a Yorish.
Of a Yorish and a Milval Peg Goivim in a Yorishim. And three more light. No right. Because Amish is talking about the way we learned it initially. Nosik Gdolos Libal. Yisuk Tanis Libal. That both the Gdolos and the Ketanis took from that same undivided estate. So we initially took $10,000 we gave for the Gdolos, and then when the Ketanis got married, and they're still in litigation, they still haven't figured out how to go and apportion the whole estate, so they also get $10,000 as an allocation. But they didn't take it from Mibal. That being the case, we have no raya to our case. Right? We're trying to bring a raya whether you can go and pay from the Baal the loan that is unpaid. We have no right, because we're not taking from the Baal, we're taking from the estate. Okay, so
the allocation within the estate is considered a milvah alpeh.
Well, the Gemara is
analogizing it.
Making a parallel. Bring the Gemara any. Reb Chiya says in the Braisa, Befeidish. Our Mishnah doesn't say clearly, it just says, Nosuk Tanais, Nosuk Doilois, Yisuk Tanais. But it doesn't really say from where they get the money. But the Tanya Reb Chiya says directly, Nosuk Gdolos Lebal Yisuk Tanis Mi Baal. Oh, so we see we take the money from the Baal if they have already subdivided the estate and now everybody's gotten their portion. And the Ketanis say, hey, nobody left any money for us for the Chasana. It's not fair. The Gdolos got money for a Chasana. We should also get money for a Chasana. Therefore, they go now Mi Baal to collect. And that's how we learn Pshat in the Mishnah. That's way to
pay us the price. Have given the $10,000 credit to the when they split the state.
They should have.
But they didn't.
They didn't. They should have, would have, could have, but they didn't. Okay? No problem. Every more Dilma Shani Panosa de Islo Kolo. It was a nice try to go and use a parallel from our Mishnah and that Braisa to the case of the Milv Alper, but they're really not exactly the same. Why? Milv Alper, there is no kol. Anytime I borrow money from you, you borrow money from me. How would people know about it unless they're eidim present, unless the word gets out? But otherwise, it could be everybody leaves. Ariel, I need to talk to you confidentially for a moment. And you're thinking to yourself, oh, maybe we'll start another kavrusa shaf together with another seder. No, I want to borrow from you $2. Okay, borrow $2. No, but Mendy doesn't know. Mendy's already in the coil, he's already learning. Everybody else has gone to work or whatever they go. And therefore, nobody knows about it. There's no kol. However, Shani Panos, this is the column when we're talking Panos, meaning about getting married. Oh, everybody knows Sprinzer got married first and then went up. And so therefore there's a call that even though there is no specific
Star,
good. However, because there is
publicity.
But there is a lot of publicity about it. And so therefore it's deemed to be, Rashbam says, it's like a Star. Just like what's the difference between a Star and between a milvah alpeh, this has a kol, this doesn't have a kol. So this is like it has a kol because everybody knows customers And then there's the duty of the father to go and supply for the children that they should get married. So it has a kol. So this kol, yes, you could take it from mibal, but maybe a regular mibal pet, you could not take from a bal. So you don't have a clear cut.
Right.
And now the Gemara says, only rapapa l'rava. Lav hainu t'sholach rav mi'igra say. Rava, you're muchinzach trying to bring a rai from our Mishnah. I have a beferish rai from the famous case of Ravan sending his igeres. Remember, Ravan lived in Eretz Yisrael, in the Shoei. And exactly. And Ravan sent now a telegram, an igeres, a letter to the Bnei Chutz Laretz. And what did he write? Mishameis v'niyachal mona ubas. The person passed away and he left over two nekedas. He left over his wife, Nebuchadnezzar Almana, and he left over a daughter. Okay, now in the ksuba it says that you almana atahe yasu lebesi, mitzin monachosai, kol yemei meger almanisecha. As long as you happen to be alive and you're an almana and you haven't remarried, you have the right to continue living in my house and getting mezoinis, no problem. Okay, so what does it say? Almanosai, mezoinis mechosai. There are no boys, it's just the daughter. Daughter yarshin the entire estate. But nevertheless, the almana gets a priority over the daughter in that the almana can go and for long she can go and request on a regular basis from mezoinis. So almanos and mezoinis mechosai. Okay, so far so good. Eventually, this is abbas. Eventually the daughter gets married. A year later, 5 years later, whenever it happens to be. And now the almana says, you know, from mazel tov, and she's very happy, but she still needs her mezoinis. She can still get from the nechosim. Now here the nechosov is referring to the baal, meaning that since she's gotten married, all of the nechosim that previously belonged to the father, to the late husband of the alman, the late father of this baal, and now all goes to the baal, because there's only one daughter, and she got married, so now it all basically belongs to the husband in the sense that he has the nechsim alug. He can go and take out all the profits and all the income. So he has to now supply for his mother-in-law. Because after all, there's still a shibud on the estate to go and pay for her mezainis. Okay, so far so good. And then Les Breda, whether he's happy or not, he has to go and supply her food. What happens to Mesa Bas? What happens if the daughter dies? And the only one that's left now is the mother-in-law and the son-in-law. You can see the possibility for potential tension here already. It's Omer Rav Yehuda ben Achoyse show Rav Yosef Rav Chanina. Al Yodeh HaYamaisa. This is all part of the Igeris that Ravin sent from Eretz Yisrael. That's even as Amaisa. The Omer Al Manosik Nizoynis Menachosim. The Amana continues getting Mizoynis from the Nechosim of the Nechsim Aluk.
Which of the son-in-law.
Of the son-in-law, which now belong to the son-in-law.
Lack, stock, and barrel. Karen and Paris.
If Yorah Shoyse, he yarshened her totally. If you're going to tell me that he was a Yoyish, and continues to be a Yoyish, because that's the rule that the Almana gets from the Yerusha at Yasub Abesi and Mitzin Melchosa. Eliam is Lekeach, if you can tell me he has a status like Lekeach, a Mayin is Zainis Melchosa. Why should she go and get from Melchosa? It's like a third party Lekeach that bought up the estate, and therefore, why should he have to go and pay for him a Zainis? Now, if you're going to go and tell me, well, why isn't that also considered to be a shiba that runs with the estate, like we said?
Because it's the ksuba of her original ksuba when she married the original husband.
And therefore?
And therefore it has a kol, and it's there when he got...
Exactly. So why is he must have a raya? That it must be that he's a yarish, because it was the lekeach mine is only chosav. The reason is because of that original ksuba, he has a shibud, and therefore, just like we said by Parnasa, it's like kol, he has also a kol. Says Rejbam, no, you're forgetting one thing, Rabbi Sai. When it comes to mazayin ishva bonois, that you cannot be moitzi min a chosam ishubadim neitikin oilam.
Why kitzva?
As a dovish ain la kitzva. As a dovish ain la kitzva. You're talking about mazayinois. First of all, it depends on her appetite, and it also depends on how many years. Right? She might decide not to remarry. She's so in love with her husband, she's not going to go and get married for the next 100 years. Husband never passed away in a terrible, tragic traffic accident at the young age of 20 years old. She was only 19. For the next 100 years, she's going to eat mezainis. During the 100 years of mezainis, that accumulates. That's a nice peckle. That being the case, nobody's ever going to want to go and buy and sell to any married man if he knows that he has a wife. Chas v'shalom, this man might pass away right after the closing. And guess what? And I'm going to be saddled with a lien on the property to go and supply his almana with mezainis for the next 100 years. It's worth much more than the whole property. So because ein la kitzva, for mezainis, you don't have to give. So here it says you do have to give. is a chasimim because he's a yoirish and not a loikeach. Ah, so said Rav somebody to Rav. Rav Papa said to Rav, we can paskin, but from here we can bring a clear cut raya that the husband has the status of a yoirish and not a loikeach. Omer Rabbi, since Rabbi Ilam the Sholach Ravin, if he didn't have the benefit of that igeris from Ravin and not lo yedinin, couldn't we on our own here in Bavel be poishit from a befeidish mishnah? What's a befeidish mishnah? What the name? Shetach the mishnah. Eilu hein she ein choizem yoivel. As we know, normally all property goes back in yoivel. Any property that wasn't yours from steachuzah from Yeshua ben Nun, you have to cough it back in yoivel to whoever you bought it from, whoever you received it from. But the eilu she ein choiz. One is a bechoyra, the bechor shav. The bechor doesn't have to subdivide it in yoivel year. He keeps his double portion. But for our purpose, vayoyrish es ishtay, a person yarshins his wife. When it comes yoivel year, he doesn't have to go and give it back to the isha's family, to her yarshim, to her parents, to her children, whatever.
The whole problem of slavchad was that they married another tribe who would stay with their tribe.
That's it. So it's nachle, so it's ben, so it's abal. Exactly right. Vayoyrish es ishtay, that remains with him forever. Now, if it remains for him forever, obviously he must be a yoyresh. Because if he was the lekeach, that's the whole din of a stay mikna a lekeach, buy something. He only owns it until yoyvel, and yoyvel has to go back. The fact that it says that he keeps it forever is the best array that he's a yoyresh and not a lekeach. So what do you have to go and kriechtuch mit rovim, mit nigeres? Chodach ha-mishnah! Omli rovim, v'hach tesholach mi'adinan. And now even after we received the raya from Ravin and his Igeris, do we really know what the halacha is? Omer Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, beUsha Iskina, the famous Takonas Usha, who Isha Shemachem Nechsim Malug B'Chayi Bala. If you have a wife that sold some of the Nechsim Malug when she was married to her husband, Umesa, and then she passed away, Habal Moitz Miyad Lekuchais. Then the husband goes and takes Miyad Lekuchais. Why does he have a din of Moitz Miyad Lekuchais? Says the Gemara in Ksuvis, and says the Rishbam over here, because he becomes like the Lekeach Rishoin. As a result of getting married, he becomes now the first purchaser. And then if she sold any of those Nechasim to other Lekuchais, they are only secondary purchasers. I'm the primary. I bought it first. So therefore, what Rav is saying is, you're telling me a Raya from Rav in one direction, you're telling bring me a Raya from the Mishnah, the Gabi Yoiv in another direction. By the Tekonis Usha, I see Lechoyra very clearly that he has a status of a Lekeach. So now, Rabbi said, make up your mind. Is the Baal a Lekeach or is he a Yoirish? From the case of the Tekonis Usha, he seems to be a Lekeach. From the case of Yoivul Yoirish, he seems to be a Yoirish. So what's going on? Says the Gemara, you're both right. Elo Marvashi, Baal Shavir Abanan. Baal Shavir Abanan. Ki Yoirish, Shavir Abanan, Ki Lekeach. The Chacham said that every single Baal, he wears two hats. He's both a Yodish and a Lekeach, and we always give him the Yodai Alu HaLiyoina, which means, V'hecha the Tovalei of the Lei. When we look what's better for the husband, and if we see for the husband it's better to be a Yodish, he's a Yodish. If we see it's better for him to be a Lekeach, we say he's a Lekeach. He has two bites at the apple, if you will. You flip a coin, he has both the heads and the tails, he gets it, whatever is better for him. Subject to other people losing out, as we'll see in a moment. V'hekel tovalei of delay. Whatever is better for him, we give to him. Selamushal, gabi yoivel, shivir rabban ki yoirish. Why mishim pesed bidei? Otherwise he would lose all these properties. Anything that he got from his wife, he would lose. So therefore the Chum said, he's the yoirish, he comes yoivel, keep it. Gabi Yerushim Reb Chanina. Yerushim Reb Chanina means on the second line this takonas usha. Shavir Rabban Kilekeach. He's Lekeach. Mishum Pseida Didei. What's the Pseida Didei? That what's going to happen is after his wife passes away, he's expecting that now he's going to get a largesse. Whatever Nechasim that she owned and brought into the marriage, that he's only had the Nechsim Lug, the income. Now he's going to get the Guf. And then he's going to hear, oh, she sold it a couple of years ago to the Kuchais. He's burning mad. What did she sell it for? Now I don't have anything. So that's Pseida Didei. You're the Keach. You get first. Okay. Gabi de Ravin, Mishum Pseida Dalmana. Ravin was on the Amid Aleph. That was the Igeris that Ravin sent. That even after the daughter Rachman Litzlan passes away, and now the Aydim has Yarshin all in the Chasim. What's the din? That the Almana continues receiving from that Baal. Why did you say about? Why didn't you tell me Takanas Usha that he's like Ilakiev? There Shavu Rabbanan ki Yoirish. There we made him into a Yoirish for the benefit of the Almana. What's the difference between one case and the other case? In the case of the Pseidah Da'almana, in other words, before we get Pseidah Da'almana, we had two cases which are soser one another. What are the two cases? He's a Yoyish. He keeps the property indefinitely, even after Yoyish. The case of Tekanas Usha, he has a din like Kelekech. And the reason is because we always want to have whatever is better for him. However, it's subject to the Alman. We, the Chacham, had more concern about the Alman. The Alman has nothing to eat, and therefore we say, Mishum Tepseda, the Almana, even though normally we would say, he's a Lekeach, he's off the hook. Shavu Rabbanan ki Yoyish, no, you're Yoyish, and you do have to pay for the Almana as Mezoinis until she eventually gets married, etc. Because Tepseda, the Almana. Furthermore, if that's the case, Bohagabi the Rabbi Yisrael, Chanina, at the top, the Kepseda Lekuchais. The Kuchis are going to lose out now. Here they went and bought the Nechsimalug from the wife, expecting that whenever she passes away, they're going to go and receive it, only to find out, the Konosusha, sorry fellas, I don't care what you paid, what you didn't pay, it doesn't make a difference to me, it belongs to the husband. So it's Pseidah Lekuchis, why are we worried about the Lekuchis? And then nevertheless, Shavu Rabban Kilekiach, and we don't say he's like a Yoyrish, just like we are upset on behalf of the Lamana, why aren't we upset on behalf of these Lekuchais? Half them, I'll tell you why. Hasim inu afsira nafshayu. There they went, this was a self-inflicted wound. What was self-inflicted? Kim the ikabal, li baylu le mizva miyitza, the yasa tu segavra. You have a husband and wife that are married. What business should third parties come and go and buy from the wife nechasim, which are subject to the nechsim ulug, requirements and limitations of the husband? They know they're married. They know that what they're doing is really not appropriate. What the Chas Shoma might be doing over here is making a chesaron in sholem bayis between the husband and wife. Because when the husband hears that the wife sold some nechas, hey, what are you selling the nechas? These are mine. Well, you're still going to get the payers. Yeah, well, la'achameh, I mean, darling, I don't like talking about these things, and we hope to live together till Mashiach, until 120. But let's be practical. At some point, Cholil v'chas, you might predecease me, and I'm hoping to get that property. That was one of the reasons I married me. Besides that, you happen to be beautiful, and you happen to be a tzniastik, and you happen to be a balas chesed, and you're wonderful. You brought up our children, eishes chayil, yeah. Call me the Shabbatoy, but you also had a little bit of gout. And I was looking forward to it. What are these lekuchas getting involved in me and buying? So therefore, we do not have any mercy on them. And we say to lekuchas, next time, go and consult with your Talmudic lawyers that will tell you that Kanas Usha, you're wasting your money if you're going to go and buy any of those lekuchas. However, the God of the Almana, there we feel bad for the Almana. Nevertheless, she's an Almana, she needs to eat. And she's entitled under the ksuva to continue eating as long as she is still single and as long as she has not remarried. So therefore, in such a case, we have that the husband is like a Yoyresh and not like a Lekeach, and he has to continue supplying her. And in the case where the husband died and the daughter died, then the son-in-law has to go and supply her until she remarries.
I agree.
And we start a brand
good timing, new parent. Right for the parent.
Good time. But we start off with a mess. Misha mess. Never chachman al-san. Somebody passed away.
Listen, I've been in a mess.
Yes. You've been in many messy situations, right? But hopefully, later they come messy situations. You were talking about never a mess, which is cool.
And that's he's a soccer star.
But it's, yeah. Soccer
but
star.
It's not a grave situation.
Not a grave situation. Okay. Misha Meis, V'niach, you see that? Okay, Misha Meis, the person passed away. V'niach, banum ubanis. And he left over, k'nai nahar, a whole bunch of kindlach, boys and girls. B'zman shenachos marum, if there's enough in the estate for all, ha'banum yirshu, they get the Yerusha, like it says in the Torah, the banum get. But ha'banois yizoinu, they go and get mizoinus. Now, min ha'Torah, they're not entitled to mizoinus. Min ha'Torah, ish kiyomus, v'ven ein loy, no sons. Then as long as there's a son, the girls don't get. Why do the girls get mezainis? Says Rishbam, because it says in the Ksavor, it says bonis nukvan mezainis and panosas isun atitivagrin oy atitinasvin legovrin, because the gzeres or the tekonis mezainis nukvan is that they will continue to go and get mezainis from the father that passed away, not forever. It's not like an amana atitivagrin. either until they become a bigris, bigris is usually 12 and a half, or atinaz legumen until they get married. But during that interim period, they have the right to get the mezoinis at the expense of the bonim, who otherwise would have gotten the whole estate, min hatay. That's when the nechasim rub. When happens the nechasim watim, there isn't a lot of nechasim. Ha bonis yezoinu, the bonis get first their mezoinis. V'abonim yishalu psachim, if there's not enough money to go around, then the boys are going to have to go and knock on doors. Do you have any work? No, no work for you. Maybe some alms, maybe you have some extra piece of challah, maybe you can give some petty cash, etc. The bonim will have to be shalom. Why don't we say the girl should be shalom psachim? It's pasish. Kol kvud bas melech penima, a girl should go and knock on doors to go and get money.
It's dangerous.
That's a separate story.
And they could use their arms to do work.
Aha, very good. Admon oimer, says Admon. We have this admin, of course, in the end of the Sechus Ksubis, this series of Mishnahs, admin, admin, admin. So this Mishnah as well is brought at the end of Ksubis. Admin, I'm a Shulshani Zohar, if Sadati, because I'm a Zohar, I lose out, meaning that the girls get their Mezainis, and I have to be Shoyl Al HaPsachim. The Gemara Mitchum tomorrow, the next day, is going to give us further enlightenment as to what admin means, Shulshani Zohar. But bottom line, he says, why should I lose out? I also need mezainis. Amram Gamliel, Rayan Estir Amit, Admon is right, I'm on his side, I agree with him. We'll see more about that in the Gemara in Yasu Shem. You remember the Gemara in Sechthis, Ksuba said that Komokim Shamram Gamliel, Rayan Estir Admon, Halacha Kamois, we pass. And then Rishbam brings that over here as well on the Mishnah. Okay, so now we distinguish in the beginning of the Mishnah between Nechasim Merubim and Nechasim Mu'atim. Nechasim Merubim, Habonim Yirshu, Bonis Yizoinu. Chasim Watim, the Bonis get the whole kit and caboodle, the whole estate, Yizoinu for their Mizoinus, and the Bonim get nothing.
It sounds like that the state is divided, and the Bonis are still getting Mizonos. I mean, does the state stay intact, undivided, until the Bonis are mature?
Or they put in a special escrow account. Okay. But the question is, for how long do you have to put it? And that's going to be the Gemara's discussion now. The Kama Reuben, can you distinguish between Reuben and Muatan? I mean, what's the measure? Amr Dina Mara, Kadesh Yezoinu Mehen Eilu Ve'Eilu Shnei Masa Chaydish. We go and speak to the actuaries and the statisticians, and we figure how much are they going to eat during the year for 12 months. If there's enough to go and support them for the full 12 months, both for the girls and for the boys, that's considered to be Nechos Reuben. Ki amrita kama deshmul, when I repeated this in front of Shmuel, omazu divrei Rav Gamliel bar Rabbi. Remember, this was Rav Yehuda saying the name of Rav, and then Rav passed away, and Rav Yehuda moved over to the academy of Shmuel. Wow. And frankly, frequently he would go and say to Shmuel a psak that he had heard from Rav, and Rav Shmuel would be interested. What did Rav say about this?
Sure.
And sometimes Shmuel would go and applaud and give him a standing ovation, and at times he would say, I disagree. So what happens? I'm coming to come to Shmuel. Omar, Sir Shmuel said, what you said is correct. However, it's a machlokes. Zu divrei Rabbi Gamliel bar Rabbi. What you said is correct. According to Rabbi Gamliel, we measure shneim asar chaydish. However, chachamim ma'irim kidei sheyizunu mehem elu ve'elu ad sheyevagru. We don't make a cheshbon until the year, but until they all become boy grim. In other words, the boys get older over bar mitzvah, and the girls get over 12 and a half, and that's the cheshbon to distinguish between merubin and muat. It manami ki yaser robin, om rab yoichon, me'am rado, om rabba b'chona, om rab yoichon, kot yizunu mehen, el reira ad shivagro. That's hey merub. Pochav nikan vayniga, less than that amount, hari elu muatim. Less than that is called muat. So tomorrow, the leka, le'elu, ve'elu ad shivagro. What happens if, in fact, there is not enough money in the state at Chiyavagro, because we added it all up. Some of these kids are only 3 years old, 5 years old, 8 years old, sometimes they become 13 or 12 and a half. You add it up, well, that's a large amount. What happens? I'm sorry?
You have to do percentages.
Percentages.
Because those are 3 years old, you got to have to figure out that many years of people who are 12 years old.
Yeah, the statisticians will have to figure it out. Yeah.
The accountants really...
Sorry?
I think it's more accounting.
Accounting, okay. Yeah, after the year is over, we allow all of the rabbis, the appraisers, the actuaries to get together and
the
figure
lawyers, the accountants,
exactly.
Bankers.
So what happens then? So you're telling me if it's not le'elu elu, shaklu hu bonis the kulu, the bonis take everything over? Because you said in our Mishnah, if it happens to be mechosim u'atim, habonis yizoynu, v'abonim yishalu psachim. So then they get everything, and the kids are ready from the age of
that
three.
That's the Tanakh though. That wasn't that what the Tanakh said.
Yeah, but we're talking about the theoretic Tanakh among the bonim as well. So let's say if you have a ben that's 5 years old. we ask the accountants and the lawyers and the Indian chiefs all to get together, and they say that the entire amount that we're going to need to take care of the banim and the banois, that's going to be $100,000. The whole estate only has $50,000. So you give the whole $50,000 out to the banois.
Yeah.
Now they have the banim who's 3 years old, or 5 years old, 8 years old. What's going to happen with that? They're going to have to go into the smedish and make an appeal, or send out a viral thing to the whole world. We have for all, because the
GoFundMe.
The GoFundMe, exactly. The girls are going to get, and the boys not. Rather, what we're going to do is from the, after we made this whole statistic and we figured out what the amounts are, we're going to put in a separate escrow account the amount that they are going to need until they become boigrim or boigrois, bashar, whatever's left over, that goes to the bonim, that will go for the boys, and the boys will hopefully therefore have enough at least for the first year or two or three. And then whenever it finally ends, there's nothing left, then the bun will have to be Shoyil Al HaPsochim. Have a wonderful day, everybody. At Tzavacha Rabbah.